Welcome back to the A-Suite Podcast. We are UCLA Anderson MBA students bringing you the best insights on industry deep dives, the MBA experience in general, and so much more. Now, first off, I want to just say a huge congratulations to everyone who graduated from Anderson's MBA program this year. We're so excited to see what you all do next, and we're also really excited to introduce to you all one of the graduates who truthfully served as a bridge that connected everyone at Anderson. He was featured on Poets and Quant. He was honored as the recipient of the Dean's Award for Outstanding Service and Teaching Excellence Award. He's an amazing friend. Please join Katie and I as we introduce you all to the one and only Parth. All right. Welcome back to the A-Suite Podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for being here for yet another week. Now, it seems we, at this time, the year's pretty much over. The year's pretty much over for a lot of people. And we wanted to bring in one of the most legendary second years that the first years know, and I'm sure that the second years know as well. He's made an incredible impact both on the students, the faculty, Anderson, and LA as a whole. And I would love for you all to meet our boy Parth. What's going on, Parth?
Thank you for that very kind introduction. I wish.
Welcome, Parth. We're so excited to have you.
All interviews should start like this, I think.
Yeah, you honestly have to hype them up. You got
to
hype them up.
Do you want me to just come with you to whatever you do after Anderson and announce your presence to any rooms you walk into? Because I'd love to do that.
Once I get a paycheck, yes. Once I can put people on payroll, for sure.
Cool.
I do plan on having an entourage one day.
As you should. As you should, Parth. I would hopefully be in that entourage at least once. That's my life and goal right now.
Just don't cut your hair.
Perfect. I won't. Well, Parth, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate your time and all the wisdom that you're about to share, or potential wisdom that you're about to share. First off, we'd love to just learn more about who you are, I guess. So how did you come to Anderson? Why did you come to Anderson? And can you shed some light onto that process on what brought you here?
Yeah, totally. I'm from Jersey. I'm definitely like an East Coast guy. I went to school in GW in DC. I love the East Coast. My goal was always to be a government guy. So I kind of I went to GW for the express purpose of working in international affairs and policy. I did some internships. I graduated and I found a job in a government consulting firm. My plan was work there for 2 years and then go to law school. And that was kind of expected from me as well, as like as a son of immigrants, that I had to get a higher degree and I had to do something prestigious like a law school degree or whatever.
Right.
And ended up working on Hurricane Sandy recovery relief for 3 years. I really enjoyed my job. It was just, it felt good. I felt like I was making good impact on people. And I enjoyed the work. I ended up staying longer than I anticipated. It was about probably 2.5 years in though that I realized, man, I don't know if law school is for me at this moment. I want to try and do something. I'm young. I have this energy. And I ended up, I was on Reddit one day and I saw indoor farming, and I thought indoor farming is like a very cool, different niche industry. And I'm from outside Philly. I'm from the Garden State, yet we don't have many farms in the part of Jersey that I'm from. In fact, it's a food desert. So my idea was, why don't we start building these indoor hydroponic farms in South Jersey? So I found some friends that were interested, and the three of us, we did contractor work. So kind of worked part-time in consulting gigs. And then we started an indoor farming company as our main job. I did that for 2 years. It was an awesome experience. We won some business competitions, did decently well. We were at Whole Foods and restaurants. And unfortunately, a big guy came in, shut us down. It was a brutal awakening to the business world. And I kind of, shut that chapter of my life. I'm like, man, this really sucks. And I don't know what to do next. One of my mentors at the time, he had gotten his MBA from Harvard. And he said, Parth, you've always talked about law school. Have you considered an MBA? And at that time, I had not. I was fresh off of closing down a business. I didn't know if I was mentally ready to apply to an MBA program. So I just kind of reached out into my network, found out there was an opening at Deloitte for a strategy role. And I thought, hey, you know what? Let me get a good name on my resume. Mm-hmm. And then apply to business school. So I ended up at Deloitte for 2 years. I did disaster work as well, disaster recovery work for the government as well. Did that for 2 years. And it was in those 2 years where I'm like, all right, if I'm going to go to business school, I'm going to really take all this time and money and effort to pause my career and do something. What do I really want out of it? And I realized, I enjoyed government work and I enjoyed making an impact, But what did I really love about my farming experience? What did I love about my consulting experience? I've always been a presenter. I've always been like a storyteller, or at least I consider myself someone who enjoys telling stories. Mm-hmm. And I was on a dance team in college and I loved being on stage. I'm like, you know what, man, like if you're going to redo everything and this is your time and your chance to start over, if you will, why not try it in something completely brand new, something that you would never really have considered because it wasn't a stable career. It wasn't as lucrative or whatever. And I thought entertainment kind of checked off all these boxes. So when I was really focusing on schools, it really made sense for, you know, it was between Anderson, Marshall, NYU. Didn't even get an interview for NYU. I got waitlisted at Anderson and I was very, very close to being like, dang, all right, I guess I'll go to USC. And it was like one of the last days that I ended up getting a phone call from Anderson saying, hey, wow, you know, you're off the wait list and we found some money. We can offer you a scholarship. We can match what Marsh was doing. And I was like, okay, I'll sign now. And I remember I opened my laptop. It was 10 o'clock it was in Puerto Rico at the time. Opened my laptop, pressed sign and committed. And so came here basically to restart my career in something that I actually enjoy and that I wanted to do for me, as opposed to doing something that, like, you know, I thought my parents would be proud of, or I thought that my culture would be proud of.
Yeah, no, I love that so much. There's so much to unpack there. And there's, you know, thank you for sharing. I think one thing for me that definitely sticks out was definitely near the end for that waitlisting experience. Would love to dive into that as well. But I also want to dive into, you start off with a lot of service work and it sounds like you're big on giving back. And as we all know, Katie and I, you do so much for Anderson and the community. You give back and you lead with service. And so would love to hear your thoughts on how service has really played into your experience here at Anderson and how you've been able to emulate your service leadership style throughout your time here.
Yeah. I think that's like that word service, it makes it seem like what I do is more grand than it is. I enjoy socializing. I enjoy having people together and bringing people together. So to me, it's not like it's a service or a job or anything like that. It genuinely, I enjoy being around people. And if it's an opportunity to bring friends from my old life to my future life, to my past, all this, mixing people together is just something I've enjoyed doing throughout my life. So to me, when I think of service, and there's people in my class who have fought for so long, for so hard, done so much. If you look at like a Rosa in my class, I mean, she does service. If you look at Charlotte Fagan, she does service. I personally just happen to get lucky where I've gotten roles or I've had opportunities to be able to bring people together. And if that means they're able to share some laughs or some drinks and just make new friendships out of that, that's kind of my value add to my class. And so I kind of shy away from the term of it being like service. I worked in government consulting. Why didn't I work for peer government? Because at the end of the day, like, it wasn't a service. It was a job. It was something that I enjoyed doing. I wanted to do. I needed to do it at the same time. In terms of like when I came to Anderson, that was my first objective. I remember, did you guys do learning team contracts? Things have been very different for you guys.
Oh yeah. So, yeah. We definitely did.
So that was like a very, you know, a first few weeks of school, you're about to unveil what your goal is, what your approach is going to be for the next few years to a group that you don't really know too well. And I remember we sat down and my classmates, like, I had a very, very sharp learning team. I have a very sharp section and I'm not an academic. And I remember each one of them were like, all right, you know, I want to do Dean's List, or I want to make sure we get A's in this. And my goal, like, I wrote down, you know, I looked at my paper. I'm like, oh, I wrote down that I want to meet 150 people. So I think I did this exercise wrong. And I mean, my friends laughed at me. They're like, okay, well, we'll write that down for you. Sure, you know, write that in the contract. But, you know, you're going to show up at all these meetings. You're going to do all this work. I'm like, oh, no, I'll do it. I'll try.
Well, I love it. The first intro to Parth for all these people were like, wow, he really just wants to get to know everyone.
Another thing, we kind of touched on the wait list. A lot of our listeners are incoming first years. So we definitely want to get a little bit of one-year advice to them. But I guess first, like, what's it like being on the wait list? And how did you navigate that process to hold out long enough and, you know, eventually accept Anderson?
Yeah. I mean, I had, you know, even just to rewind it a little bit, when I was going through the process of of applying. I did the consortium application and I was applying through the UCLA system there. My interview, my initial interview request or invitation rather, it got sent to spam. So I didn't see that for like,
oh no.
So not only what? Did I not, like, you know, so I didn't even know that I had a decision pending. And I remember just thinking like, wow, this is like weird. You know, all these other schools have either, you know, rejected me or at least told me to come in for an interview and not a word from Anderson. And I remember just
checking. I'm shocked that you weren't being as neurotic as the rest of us checking your spam every day. Like when I was waiting for interview and I was like, is it my spam? Like, where is it? Every day checking it, hopefully, and nothing was there.
I should have been. I mean, I'm very rough with certain things. And I think that's one of the, you know, and I was in the middle of a really, really tough project at Deloitte, a fun project. You know, I was in a great team and all, but it was weird because you're at this weird transition point where when you finally get to that decision where you're like, all right, I'm leaving this company or I'm leaving this project or I'm leaving this job. You're very excited until you get to that day. And then you kind of like, wait, like, do I really want to do this? Do I want to make this step? So I don't know if subconsciously I'm like, hey man, I'm like actually enjoying my work here. I have a great time, great crew, great team. Maybe I don't need to go to MBA yet. I don't know. But I didn't check it for a very long time. When I finally did realize it, I called them up, super, super freaked out. They were able to schedule me. I had 3 interviews in 3 days. And it was like, I had to go to New York. I had to go to Duke. And then I came to Anderson. And it was like,
you went to in person to all of them. So you were just like traveling back and forth. Oh yeah, my gosh.
Because I was on a travel project, I had to like take the week off the project and be like, all right, I need to stay home and do these 3 things. And I flew, you know, I missed my Greyhound bus to New York. I had to get an Uber for like a 90-mile Uber. Did the interview. It was like, this was a terrible experience. And then LaGuardia shut down because there was an ice storm. So I was late to my Duke interview. And then from Duke to LA, I was late again because everything got bumped back. So I had to change my flight. So I flew into LA, got in at like noon, missed all the class stuff, missed all the, you know, meet and greet and all that fun stuff. I had a 20-minute session with like a group of random second years. My buddy didn't meet me. He was like, oh, I can't make it. And then I got a call, like, and my interview's at 5:00. It's like the last thing. And at 4:00, I get a message, hey, I'm sick. I can't do your interview. You have to now go interview with like an admissions director instead of a second year. So I'm like, this sucks. Like, man, what is happening right now? And then I ended
I'm stressed by this story. Yeah, no, it was stressing me out.
It was very weird. I had the interview and I was like, all right, you know, I thought it went decently well. That was actually the first time I heard about Lit Club was the admissions director told me about Lit Club because she was an alumni. And I'm like, whoa, that's amazing. I've never heard of anything like this. I had the interview and I was like, all right, I'm going to run back to the airport because I'm going to be in LA for a total of 6.5 hours in this entire trip. And as I'm walking to grab a coffee, I hear Parth, like someone say Parth. I'm like, who do I know in LA? Like, I don't know anyone at UCLA anyway. My freshman year from college RA happened to be a FEMBA who is on campus 3 times in a year because he's in the weekend FEMBA. He happened to walk into the coffee shop the same time that I was in the coffee shop waiting for a coffee shop that normally takes very, very long anyway. So it was like very lucky. And he was like, oh, dude, Parth, what are you doing here? And we ended up talking and he walked me off campus, but like took the scenic route. And I remember thinking like, this is such a beautiful campus. If I do get in here, like this would be amazing. And he kind of gave me that like weird sense of karmic energy telling me to go here. I took that as a positive sign and then I was still on the wait list though. So I remember thinking like this, you know, very positive to very negative to very positive to very negative again. And when I was on the wait list, I think when I did my applications, I had written out, you know, the 350 words and whatever makes sense to fit my story at the time. But I also wrote an essay to myself that was like, what would I really want to do from an MBA? And I was like, you know, 1,000 words of, I want to go into entertainment because I want to tell stories and I want to make people happy and I want to have a good time. And I want to, you know, highlight stories and events and things that aren't normally highlighted. So I remember I kept that piece of paper and I'm like, all right, if I have this in my hand, I'm going to hold out for the best opportunity to make this piece of paper become a reality. And so despite, you know, Marshall doing Marshall things the last few years and other schools being perhaps more highly ranked or highly regarded, Anderson just made so much more sense for what I wanted to do long term. I think that's what kept me sustained for those few weeks on that wait list until I finally got that call. I don't think I was a great waitlist applicant in terms of I didn't make phone calls to people. I wasn't like, you know, reaching out to second years and going to club events. We also didn't have much Zoom opportunity, right? It wasn't like we could just hop on a Zoom call and meet people. So for me, I was like, all right, I can't fly out to LA again to show that I love Anderson. In fact, I didn't join the Facebook groups because I didn't want FOMO. I remember people like seeing things on like about A-Days. I was like, all right, I'm out. Like, I'm not even going to join this group because I didn't know until after A-Days was a thing that that I would eventually get in here. So to me, if you're on that wait list, like the think about why you're doing an MBA. It doesn't make sense. Even if you didn't get into your dream school or the school that's going to really fit for you, 1 year in the grand scheme of your, you know, 85, 90 year life is not going to be that bad if that 1 year sets you up for a greater trajectory of success. And I think thinking of it in like these kind of macro terms helped me out. You know, I often get like bogged down in small details, but really like zooming out thinking, man, like, you know, what if I waited a year to go to Anderson? Would it have killed me? No. I ended up getting off the wait list and, you know, things worked out. But I genuinely think, you know, the universe does end up working the way it needs to work. And that was one of those moments.
I mean, if there's any inkling that trust the process is a true thing, I feel like that story is definitely just trust the process, have faith. I love the fact that everything just kind of fell into place out of nowhere. It seemed like you're running around with your head cut off per se, but it ended up working out for the better and you made it here. And just the thought that you might not have gone to Anderson makes me so sad. And so I'm super blessed and grateful that that was able to happen. And Katie, sorry, I interrupted.
I didn't know you were on the wait list until right now. And that is just an example of how, when you're on the wait list, like you shouldn't worry about yourself at all in terms of how you're going to be when you get to your MBA program. Parth is like the most well-known involved like representation of Anderson we have. And like you would, you know, so anyone out there on the wait list, and there's a bunch of other folks who got in off the wait list who are some of my favorite classmates and like so impressive. And so it's just another reminder of that. And anyone who's out there like worried about it, just, you know, it's all gonna work out and you're amazing and don't let it get you down.
Started from the bottom, now we're here, man. That's the wait list. It's just like, the way I see it, the wait list and just like applications in general, someone told me this years ago, or I guess a couple years ago now. It's not necessarily you in a vacuum, right? You might have the resume and the statistics and all that, but your class, and I think Anderson does a really good job of this. Like our class is like an orchestra and it's an ensemble performance where they don't want the 100 best guitar players or the 100 best violinists. They want a super good set of strings and drums. And I don't really know music, so I don't know if I'm going to lose it.
Brass, wood section. Yeah, those are good ones.
In the wait list, like I'll have people call me and be like, I'm super stressed. Like, how do I change X, Y, Z? It's like, you don't need to change your story. You're not going to change you. Because that doesn't make sense of why you took this time and investment. Why did you do all that to just conform to some other person's instrument? Play your own instrument.
I definitely came in very specific on what I wanted to do. It sounds like you did too. I think a lot of the people who go into entertainment at Anderson come in super specific because it is like well-known entertainment school and all of that. But now like you're going to work in sports and kind of you found your home there. I just want to know more about the journey of figuring out what you wanted to do once you were at Anderson and what helped you along the way.
Yeah, I came in very specific for entertainment. I remember I sat down with Lynn Young, my advisor. Shout out to Lynn. I don't know if she remembers this, but I sat down and I said, you know, I came here for my MBA, but if I wasn't an Indian dude, I probably would have gotten my MFA in acting or something in the creative world. Can you help me? And I remember
we are like two trains on the same track of life. I love
it. Exactly. Well, one day when we run a studio, or at least are in a studio, somebody in our class will own a studio and we can just act for them, which it would be wonderful. They can finance our improv team. I remember saying that, and I came in very, like, you know, I was very optimistic about how the entertainment industry works and how close it would be, and that I would work in a business role and someone would discover me and be like, oh man, did you see this intern? He's so good. He should be in our next Marvel movie. Like, that was literally the kind of thought that I had in my head. I'm like, this is going to happen. Like, obviously.
Wait, that doesn't happen?
I'm dropping out. You're not casted already?
Especially during COVID, it doesn't happen. Who knew? But I ended up talking to as many people as I could. Like, I talked to probably like 40, I did like 40 coffee chats, just because I didn't try to label them coffee chats. It was like, I'd go kayaking with someone or go play tennis, and I would try
to- See, that's the way you should do things, I think. I feel like that's something that's slept on, and people, we always do coffee chats and we just go to like the local little coffee shop and sip on some tea or whatever. Like, let's change the dynamic around coffee chats and meeting people, because we just did this case on Granitsky and Sanders, and they're like the goats of networking. And yes, they have some, you know, pros and some cons, but it seemed like a little too tactical, you know? And like, let's just like have fun and hang out and like get to know somebody, not over coffee. Let's do something else. So I love that. I love that you were going on kayaks and hikes and doing other things. Really appreciate that. Sorry to interrupt.
As an alum, Winnow, soon to be alum, if you ever just want to meet as like a normal human being and not send me a 15 minute on my calendar, like, I would love to just actually hang out. So that's just for me. I definitely appreciate not doing coffee. I also don't drink much coffee, so it gets awkward. But anyway, I met a lot of people, and I realized, you know, in talking about their like role, like, you know, what's your day-to-day look like? It looked very much like what I used to do at Deloitte, or it looked like something that I wasn't as interested in. And I ended up finding an internship that would let me be in like a small studio. I saw how it was in one of the more creative functions, or at least the creative business functions of a small studio. And I realized it just wasn't going to be like for me. And that was kind of a bummer, right? Like, I realized that probably like February or March of my first year. So now that's like around the time when there's a lot of internships kicking up and people are finding out where they're going, even in entertainment. And I remember thinking, man, like, I did all this stuff. Like, should I just reach back out to Deloitte and see if I should go back there for the summer? Mm-hmm. And I ended up taking a sports management class with Professor Jeff Morad. And he's just a very, very nice professor. He has a super cool Rolodex. You know, we've had speakers. This year they had Daniel Ricciardo. We had A-Rod last year. It's like a very cool wow. list of speakers in the sports world. And he had Bleacher Report CEO come in. And I had an idea for a business that was very similar to Bleacher Report. Professor introduced me to Dave. We talked. I remember thinking, like, man, sports are just as inspiring to me, or as entertaining to me, as pure entertainment. And if I'm not going to be able to work in like a pure entertainment space at this time, and with COVID shutting everything down, it looked less and less likely. I started reaching out and thinking, like, all right, what's my next passion? Is it going to be sports? What's it, you know, what's going to give me the same positive emotional response as what I thought the entertainment industry would? And so I spoke with Professor Morad a lot. As I said, I spoke with some of his contacts as well. And it's very funny. I was at the gym. It's probably like the last time I was at the gym before they shut them down. And I was wearing an India jersey, a Sahara India jersey. And I saw a dude, and I knew he was in our class, or I knew he was a FEMBA. And like, I've seen this guy around, but I've never actually talked to him. He's like a quieter guy. And I went up to him, and I remember thinking, like, yo, hey man, I'm Parth. Like, we never actually met. What's your name? And his name was Pranav Joshi. Shout out to you. He told me, oh dude, I see you like cricket. You should talk to my friend at the 49ers. Introduced me to someone at the 49ers who worked for someone who was starting a cricket league in America called like Major League Cricket. And that's literally how I got my summer internship, like in the sports world. It was at a startup. They're wow. You know, now pretty big. It was one of those things where it's like, you know, go out of your comfort zone, go talk to someone, meet someone at like a non-academic setting, strike up a conversation and just be genuine about it. And it might lead to something. And I think I ended up like kind of following that path into sports. And now, you know, I'm headed towards an internship at ESPN this summer. It's like very focused on what I want to do in terms of of creating my own business and using innovative ideas in the sports entertainment space. So it life has a very funny way of like opening random doors, but you need to like kind of go through that door, figure out what's next and what's next and what's next. And I think the NBA has been really helpful in that. It like puts you in the positions to find doors that you need to walk through.
And what I love about where you're going and how you're in sports is like you have so much energy. And I feel like working in sports and entertainment is the perfect use of all of your energy. I don't know if anyone's listening's ever like faced off against Parth during a volleyball or spike ball game, but that's his absolute prime, like maximum Parth. And like, I feel like you're going to be so successful taking that kind of competitive energy into ESPN and everything. So I can't wait to see what you do with it.
Well, usually I've been asked like, all right, you know, when I play sports, whatever, like what, I'm not a big dude or anything like that. I never really played professionally or, you know, whatever. I was on a dance team in college because they were competitive, but someone asked me like, what's your position or what's your role or whatever. And I literally, it's like just being competitive, you know, like I will put my heart out and that's all. So I'm very excited to get to a spot that appreciates that, you know, as like an industry. It will be tough though, I think, watching athletes as opposed to being an athlete right now, you know, an athlete in quotes, of course. I won't be able to put out Outlook invites for people's calendars for volleyball on a random Tuesday afternoon anymore, which is, it's going to be rough. Mm.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think another thing that I definitely want to highlight is in the MBA program, a lot of these courses that we take, they highlight teamwork and working with other people. And when it comes to Parth, I honestly feel that there's always just one, the energy that Katie's talking about, but the ability to transfer that energy to the people around him. I think that's what is really infectious, being able to get a group of people really excited and amped up about a certain project or a goal or what have you. So I'm just personally extremely excited to see you thrive in that work environment, the professional environment, as well as like outside of that and leading. You know, I'm not just here to compliment Parth. Obviously there's a lot of things to compliment him about, but leading from that, I would love to hear like your advice to potentially the new first years that are coming into Anderson, like how to best use their time here to not only bring themselves up, but bring the other people around them up as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like I have a lot of like random anecdotes. but when I was in college, I was on this dance team. I mentioned that earlier. It was like an Indian dance team. I'd never done anything like that before, but it was a way for me to make friends. And I'm like, all right, cool. Friends and like a spirit of competition, like sign me up. And I ended up dancing my first year. We were a very good team. We're like one of the top ones in the country. My second year, I was voted as captain. And I was just a total hard ass. And I worked my team too hard. I thought that, you know, if I showed myself as like the hardest worker, people would just kind of follow blindly. We ended up losing every single competition we ever went to.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, you know, it was truly, we still refer to ourselves as the train wreck year because the theme was a train and we literally just crashed. I remember for some crazy reason, they voted me back as one of the captains the next year. And I remember like, look, you need to maximize the strengths of your team and get them involved and make them feel like they are just as they're a part and an owner of the team and of the team success as you are. And I remember when we changed that kind of mindset and we changed the dynamic of the board and we gave people like ownership and gave them assignments. And at the same time took on like the low assignments, that really kind of pushed us to the next level. We ended up winning nationals that year. It was a great time. Like it was an awesome experience for me. And to me, that's kind of how I've shaped my leadership, where I'm almost hesitant to ask people to do things that I know I can do myself, because I'm like, no, I want to do the dirty work. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of all the, as much as like the nitty gritty as needed to get done. I need you to use your strength. Like John, when you helped us make those videos and when you helped make that audio, when you helped make the Zoom happen for Lit Club, it's like, I know this guy's strengths. I want him to be involved in the stuff that's going to highlight his best assets. When Katie's going to be MC, yeah, she could have been doing a lot of other things, you know, like even if it was just like being the hostess at that night, but allowing you guys to highlight what you're going to be the best at that moment is something that I try to facilitate, you know, to varying degrees of success, I think, but that's always kind of been my goal. I think with the MBA program, it's an opportunity for you, like as you come in, you know, you don't have to be the all-star. You don't have to be the guy that does everything or the girl that's involved in every club or is the president of everything. But you do want to make sure that you make yourself available and you're someone that people can, that people are comfortable reaching out to. Like I met you, John, and I was like, oh, I can hit up John because I need help for something small. I know I can reach out to Katie because I need assistance or I want this comedy club thing to go, you know, to go viral, if you will. And making yourself available from day one is, I think, super important. Second years will notice it. They'll see that person as like, oh, these are capable people that are willing to help. They're genuine about wanting to kind of learn how to do Anderson right. So that's probably my biggest advice. As soon as I could get involved at Anderson, I didn't like sign up and become, you know, president of any club. I just said, hey, I'll take the lowest, you know, the lowest title you guys want to give me, and I'll outperform that role and I'll do things that are in other teams' roles just because they need the help. And that helped me get involved in things. It helped me build the trust. It helped me build the kind of relationships I want to take forward into my second year.
And what does doing Anderson right mean to you?
Ooh, I guess that's different for every person, right? Like my biggest advice to people when I do like second year calls, or sorry, when I do, you know, buddy calls or admit buddy calls, it's similar to play your own instrument. I'd say run your own race. I probably every other call, I say run your own race, because you will see people, you know, on day one with resumes that are far more impressive than you, or with experiences that are far more impressive than you, or they just seem smarter or they're cooler, better, whatever. There's going to be 1,000, you know, other externalities and options and things of what you can be doing and what other people will be doing. Consultants will know where they're going by January. Bankers will be knowing by same time frame. Tech people will be signing these massive bonuses. But you didn't come here to go to Apple, I didn't come here to work at Apple or to go back to Deloitte or to, you know, try and run McKinsey. I came here to run or to tell stories. And so running your own race is doing Anderson right. If that means you're making, you know, the anti-racism working group, if you're making like an impact and changing people's mindsets on how we treat each other, and that's your impact and that's the race you decided to run, then, you know, grab that baton and just sprint down that race. But like, don't worry that you're not making $300,000 as a banker or however much bankers make. Just make friends with the bankers so you can chill with them later.
Love it. Thank you.
Great advice. Yeah.
One thing I would say to the new class is if there's something that you feel is missing or something that other schools are doing better or they're doing and we're not doing it at all, take the opportunity to build something new at Anderson. You can do that, you know, as long as you're willing to put in the work. Just take the initiative, take the incentive and move it along. Garrett and I, we started Ander Cup together our first year. And, you know, there's a lot of times people thought it would never actually happen. And here we are, hopefully an annual tradition for our classmates. You guys have been able to make an amazing podcast and you have added so much value to your classmates. So it really is just about putting in the work and doing something that will improve your experience or the experience of others and taking that opportunity that Anderson offers you.
All right. So I know we're coming close to time. Real quick, would love to hear what are your top three things that everyone should do while they're here at Anderson, whether it be a class, a place in LA or what have you. What are three things that everyone should do while they're at Anderson?
All right. Three things that you must do at Anderson. I would say, one, go on campus as much as you can, because if that's ever taken from you, it's a very, very, very sad thing. I love campus. It's a beautiful campus. Like, take advantage of the wider campus. Some of the best nights I ever had is after we would have stat class on Tuesdays as a section. And after stat class, we would all either break out and go to get like tacos, you know, on campus or in Westwood, or we would go play spike ball under the intramural lights, you know, as part of with the undergrads and stuff.
That's
and just
really
taking
cool.
advantage of like UCLA as a beautiful, beautiful campus. Definitely do that. Two, I'm going to shout out, of course, Comedy Club and Lit Club. It is one of the more, if you've seen Follies at other schools, this is Lit Club is our version of that. And I'd say we're definitely up there with some of these other Follies schools. So getting involved with the comedy scene at UCLA, you know, take one evening out to do improv and figure out how much fun it can be. It will genuinely make your relationships with the people in your improv group just so much better. So definitely recommend getting involved with Comedy Club and of course the improv scene. Number three, but you must do. I mean, LA is just a wonderful, wonderful city, but I hope you guys keep post games at Ruben's Tacos alive. Ruben's Tacos suck on Santa Monica and Westgate. For everyone who's going to hate on me, I know it's not the best taco truck in LA. I've been to dozens of taco trucks. I know that. But for Anderson students, it is the best experience because there's no other place where some people end up in WeHo and some end up in Bel Air and some end up in downtown or in Santa Monica. When you come home at night and you want that last bite of food and you just roll up to Ruben's and there's like already 30 of you there that just happen to be there from different parties, it's an amazing way to end a night. And I will miss that a lot, you know, when we graduate.
And I'll miss seeing you there, Parth. So you better.
I plan on being there. It's just.
Yeah, you better not move.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, Parth, again, thank you so much for your time. Is there any last thing that you want to shout out? Any place where people can find you or what have you and follow your journey moving forward?
You can follow my Instagram. I'm an up and coming insure model. So, you know, that's going to be great. You know?
I love it.
Anywhere, if I can be helpful to anyone out there, like, you know, always feel free to reach out on LinkedIn. I'm sure we'll be in Slack until they kick us off and you'll be seeing my annoying face posting for things. But this was a great experience. I do want to shout out my class, class 2021. We have been through a lot, I think more than anyone else, and I hopefully more than anyone will ever be put through. Mm. And I appreciate every single person in it for making it the class that it is. And yeah, as you said, John, the fact that I might not have been part of this class would be like terrible for me. You know, I've had friends ask me, you know, non-MBA friends who don't understand, who are like, hey, are you glad you did it? Like you wish you did it next year? Or do you wish you had done it a different time? I'm like, no, honestly, like, genuinely, sincerely, no. I ask each person in my class, like, yes, COVID was not what we prepared for. It's not what we paid for. It's not what we dreamed of or any of that. But if you came to Anderson for 2 years and tell me that you didn't find someone that like fundamentally positively changed your life, and if that wasn't worth like all the work and effort that we put in, I mean, it truly is a really great class. It's a really great set of people, and I appreciate all of them. So that's my last shout out.
Love it. Amen. Thank you, Parth. You're the best.
Thank you guys.
And there you have it. Parth is truly an inspiration, and he's shown all of us so much through his actions while here at Anderson. Make yourself available, be transparent and vulnerable, form those relationships that could last a lifetime, and above all else, run your own race and make your own impact. Now, if you enjoyed this episode or if something resonated with you, tell us about it. Send us an email at theasweetpodcast@gmail.com, or better yet, leave us a review on your favorite podcast app and tell your friends all about the A-Suite. A big shout out to today's hosts, Katie Schiff and myself, our executive producer, Jody, and of course, our executive audio director, Alyssa. Thank you all so much for listening today, and we'll see you here next time on the A-Suite Podcast, signing off.